Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke, from chapter 16, where we will read verses 19 through 31. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1492. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 16, 19. Jesus said, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at the gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us.' Then he said, 'I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment.' Abraham said to him, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' But Father Abraham said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead.'" God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. There is our birth and our death. To separate the two, we place a dash. Linda Ellis wrote a poem entitled "The Dash." I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted first came the date of birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that they spent alive on earth. And now only those who love them know that what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love, and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. For if we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel. And be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat them with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? Jesus told a story about how two men spent at least part of their dash. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. The descriptive words easily give us an image of a rich man. He was given to elegant clothing and fine dining. It was daily life. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at the rich man's gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. This was his daily life. In 2010, I went to a Women in Ministry Day Apart, sponsored by Samford University. In a most enjoyable opener, Dr. Katie Cannon had us to spend a few minutes at our individual tables, getting to know one another's names and how we got our name and its meaning. We then went around the room presenting the person beside us to the group. Almost in passing, Dr. Cannon made a statement which immediately connected me with today's scripture. She said, "The first work of justice is to call someone by their name." In Jesus' narrative, he called the beggar by name, Lazarus. Lazarus, which means whom God helps, never received help from the unnamed rich man. Later, some commentaries and preachers gave the rich man the name Dives. Dives is a Greek a word meaning wealth. But Jesus doesn't tell us how either man got to their particular station in life. Was it health issues that placed the beggar on the street? Or did the health issues come from living on the street? Did the rich man pull himself up by his own bootstraps? Or was he born with a silver spoon in his mouth? We don't know. We do know that the two men knew one another. Lazarus longed for just a crumb from the rich man's table. On earth, the rich man never acknowledged Lazarus, who was laid at his gate. That Lazarus was laid at his gate kind of gives us an image, not that Lazarus walked up or even crawled up to the gate for a handout, but someone put him there, perhaps praying for mercy. Lazarus died, and he was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Death, it happens to us all. The worldometer continuously counts the births and subtracts the deaths. Currently, there are about 8.2 billion people. There are an average of 250 births per minute and 106 deaths per minute. The average life expectancy in the United States is 78.4. The average for males is 75.8, and for females is 81.1. People like Terry's mother, Sis, at 100, helps to raise the bar for us. Lazarus' soul was lifted by a band of angels, and he was carried home to Abraham's bosom. The Old Testament tells of how God chose Abraham to leave his people and his country to travel to a new land where he would become a new people from which the whole world would someday be blessed. The Jewish people descended from Abraham. They considered that when a person died, he was carried to rest with his ancestors in the bosom of Abraham. The rich man did not fare as well. He was buried and found himself in Hades, a place of torment for the dead. Life after an earthly death was reversed. The rich man had lived a life of ease and comfort here on earth, but a life of pain and suffering in the next season of life. Lazarus the beggar had a life of pain and injustice here on earth, but had a life of rest and glory in the next life. We can't help but notice that a man that was used to giving orders and having others serve him doesn't give it up easily. The rich man cried out, "Father Lazarus, have mercy on me. Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." And Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and you are tormented. Besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who would want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." It wasn't that Abraham didn't have compassion. He called him son, as he reminded him that he'd already experienced good things while Lazarus suffered. Now Lazarus was experiencing good things while he suffered. Even if Lazarus wanted to be more merciful, because he knew what it was like to suffer, there was a divide separating them. Perhaps in this story, the rich man is beginning to have some thoughts of mercy for others, at least for his own brothers. Then the rich man said, "Father Abraham, I beg you to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. If they hear Lazarus' testimony, they may be prevented from coming to this place of torment." Oh, sometimes we long that people would not make the same mistakes that we have made. Certainly that they would not make the mistake of living only for the moment and not eternity. Abraham said to the man in Hades, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." The man's brothers knew the teachings of Moses and the prophets. They knew that they were to love God with all their heart, their soul, their mind, their strength, and that they were to love their neighbor as themselves. They knew that a Messiah was coming to give them a heart willing to follow God. The man in Hades insisted, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." The rich man is thinking, surely if someone rises from the dead and tells them how to have a life of goodness forever, they will believe him and they'll give up their selfish lives. Father Abraham declared a truth. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. This parable of Jesus has a prophetic truth. Jesus will rise from the dead, yet many will not believe him. In his book, God's Outrageous Claims, Lee Strobel asked the question, who would you guess is the most successful lawyer in the world? The Guinness Book of World Records answers that question. It says that Sir Lionel Luckhoo is by far the most accomplished lawyer on the planet in an absolutely amazing feat that nobody has come close to repeating. This real-life Perry Mason won 245 acquittals in a row, either by a jury or on appeal. He was knighted twice by Queen Elizabeth. Certainly, he must have been smart and savvy and extremely analytical, and he must have had world-class mastery of what constitutes reliable and persuasive evidence. We might wonder what he might conclude about the resurrection of Jesus. Thankfully, we have his opinion because he took the time to apply his legal expertise to study the matter. Now, here's the conclusion that he ultimately reached. I say without a doubt that the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming that it compels acceptance by proof, which leaves absolutely no room for doubt. Thoroughly convinced that Jesus rose from the dead in an irrefutable demonstration of Jesus' deity, Luckhoo did the most logical thing that he could. He reached out to receive Christ's forgiveness and leadership of his life. He said, my life took a 180-degree change. I found real peace and happiness and joy and righteousness and holiness. Sir Lionel Luckhoo of England lived from 1914 to 1997, dying at the age of 83. Thankfully, he spent at least a portion of the dash of his life considering what he believed about Jesus and how he wanted to live his life. Now, Jesus' parable is not intended for us to develop an understanding of life after earth or a theology of heaven and hell. For now, I lean heavily into 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. There's an old story about a country doctor who took his dog with him on medical calls to homes. When he went inside, he left the dog waiting at the door. Once a patient near death asked the doctor, what lies on the other side? To the dismay of the patient, the doctor replied, I don't know what it will be like. Then a scratching and a whining sound is heard at the door, and the doctor opens it, and his golden retriever rushes in, wagging his tail and leaping with joy. The doctor turns back to the patient and explains, did you notice my dog? He's never been in this room before. He didn't know what was inside. He knew nothing except that his master was here. When the door opened, he sprang in without fear. The doctor concluded, although I don't know what awaits me after death, I know my master is there, and that is enough. We are all living the dash of our lives. Count your lifetime in ways that will place you in God's heavenly home. Our earthly life is a time for faithfully believing in God through Jesus Christ and living in a way that glorifies God. We cannot go back and relive our life once it is over, nor will others believe us if we could. Make the most of each minute and have more time with God than you could ever count. Let us pray. Loving Master, thank you for our lives. Guide us with your Holy Spirit that we might live to the full potential of your calling for us. In Jesus' name, amen.